Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, it was a great first hour. We had to do some musical chairs shifting back and forth. Lee Cochran came on instead of the second hour. He came on the first hour. And just in case you people just tuned in, we'll just kind of go over one little thing I want to share with Gene, my number one. We renamed him. He's no longer Mr. Marine Jeans. He's Gene the Superstar. We got a card. I want Gene to. I read this card, Gene, first of the air, but I'm going to read it again since you're here because it's primarily addressed to you, Superstar. It says December the 27th, 2020. Plus, we might also have other listeners just tuning in that weren't on the first hour. It says, Dear Eddie, another great show on September 26th. I think the world of Gene Andrews. Please say hi to him for me when you see him next. It was also fun to hear you, James, and Keith together. Your friend, Jim. So, Gene, you have a fan, brother. That's Jim from Washington State. So you might want to give a shout out to him. And I talked about this beautiful card too. It was comes from the MD Anderson Cancer Center down at the University of Texas. So what do you think about that, fella?
Well, we appreciate that, and we really appreciate everyone tuning in to Blood River and listening to the show. It's the show that brings the people in. It's not me. They want to hear all the different guests that you have, the variety of people that you have, the different subjects you cover. That's what's the star of the show right there, is the variety of guests and top intellectual people that you have from so many different areas, from Croatia, from different parts of this country. They had the Oath Keepers last week. That's just great. You get such a good cross-section of honest, conservative, normal people, and you don't get that from the lamestream media and the lies and misinformation that they put out. So I think people really feel it's refreshing to come to Blood River Radio and find out what's actually going on, what the truth is out there, and not listen to the prostitutes in the mainstream media and their spin on everything. So congratulations, Eddie, for you getting everyone lined up and ready to go. And I apologize again for not making it back from the Forest home in time to be on the first hour. We had a tour out there. I was trying to talk as fast as I could and get the people through. And this is the front of the house, this is the back of the house, this is top floor, bottom floor. Thank you all very much for coming. But then I had to lock up. And I had to get the mower out of the field and back to the barn where I'd been working when these folks showed up. And we're glad to have them come because that's one way where we make money to keep the home open, is from donations and from tours out there and book sales and T-shirts and things like that. So I really didn't just kick them out the gate, but I knew I was watching my watch and figuring I got 45 minutes to and hope there's no Tennessee Highway Patrol on the road between Chapel Hill and Nashville to get back fast enough. So we made it. So, but thank you for the card, and thank you for our listeners and our gentlemen out there in Washington State. We really appreciate that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Gene, people, everything you said hopefully is true. That's very, very flattering. But you know what? People do tune into the characters of the show, our characters, and you were a great character. I wouldn't trade your friendship, your brotherhood I have you for anything on earth. I think as highly as you, as our listeners. And by the way, I was looking, I still have this sheet on my wall. You know, this is our second anniversary. We've been on the year, we've been on the air 2 years now, Gene.
Congratulations. Great.
Yes, sir. Well, congratulations to you too, because you've been a part of it. Matter of fact, I'm looking at this sheet and we had 11 people, on the air that first broadcast 2 years ago. It was a Saturday, October the 6th of 2018, and you were number 7. It was me, Matt, James, Sam, Jacob, Gene, Winston Smith. We had Dr. Hill on, Lee Cochran, and Rich Hamblin.
Yeah, oh, so, man.
Yeah, I still have that sheet.
That's a good group. I felt like I was in the AA minor leagues, brought up to the big, made the show.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, you certainly brought up to the bigs. That's a doggone sure. You know, we were talking about earlier in the show, the first hour, and I'd like to run it back by you again, too. You know, like we said, we caught some flack last week from some people for having Oath Keepers on. Lee and I, people have probably said I'm repeating myself, but Lee Cochran and I, we're two of the original members in Shelby County, Tennessee, the Oath Keepers. We're no longer in there because it got infiltrated and it went kaput. It folded. And you could see people coming in that, you know, they were kind of shifty, shady characters. And I think they were there just to do what they did. They created havoc and they created strife and arguments and stuff like that. But I've heard a lot of people say that the Stuart Rhodes can't be trusted. I just asked Lee about that. He said he had he didn't have any concrete evidence about him being infiltrated. Our theory on race doesn't jive altogether with theirs. But you know what? One thing I told people, there's one thing you can't take away from them. I don't care. You know, they have boots on the ground. I can't think of any other organizations other than the League of the South that actually has boots on the ground at these hot centers where things have really gone hot. I mean, they've been they were in Ferguson, Missouri. They were there. They were in, I don't know if Louisville's still going on or not, but they were in Louisville last week when me and Gene we interviewed Ranger Doug, the Army Ranger, who's wounded. God only knows how many times. He's with 3 or 4 times. Stuart Rhodes is in there. I've heard a lot of people say they don't trust Stuart Rhodes. They think he might be a double agent. As far as my knowing about Oath Keepers for many years, I've never known anybody that had any evidence that could prove that he was kind of like a double agent. I go by evidence, what you see in the field, and they have saved lives and protected lives like Oath Keepers, like we did in Charlottesville, like you did, like Dr. Hill did, like Michael Tubbs did, you know. But they're there. That's what they do. So, you know, you have to give the devil a due. Go ahead,
I think
Gene.
You have to look at the results. What have they accomplished? They've gone to these places, these hot spots, as you call them, and they are, like Ferguson, like Louisville, and places like that, and have protected people's lives and their private property. And so many of these rotten-to-the-core liberal Democratic mayors in these big cities tell the police to stand down. You know very well that's what happened in Charlottesville. They had a ton of police out there, and they just sat there, did nothing. And we got attacked by the Antifa thugs, and the Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks, and we had to literally fight our way out of there. So to have the Oath Keepers step in and defend people, I take my hat off to them for that. Like you said, who else is going to put boots on the ground if it's not the League of the South or Oath Keepers to do that? When these liberal Democratic mayors tell their police to stand by and turn their city over to the Antifa anarchists to just attack anybody that's conservative that they don't agree with, you got to have somebody to stand up for the rank and file population out there.
Amen. You know, and I'd like to, since we've had some of the people, and I'm going to name some organizations, some of the people have slammed us for having Oath Keepers on, the Campaign for Liberty. And Lee and I both, I used to be a member of the Campaign for Liberty. Lee is still there, a Campaign for Liberty, and we catch the same flack from them, only in a different. They're opposite of us. They're more like Oath Keepers as far as race. And you got the mighty, big, bad Council of Conservative Citizens, CFCC. In America, I'd like to ask the CFCC guys in the Dead Poets in the American Renaissance, where be's you? Where was you in Ferguson, Missouri? Where was you in Charlottesville? Where are you in Louisville? I'll tell you where you are. You run to the high grass with your tail between your legs. I'll tell you, I'm going to catch hell for this, but the council, I've heard some of my people say, and I was a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens one time, but they tucked tail and ran during that Dylann Roof thing, and I'll repeat what I said the first hour. It wasn't the Dylann Roof in that incident that destroyed and pretty much destroyed the CFCC. It was the cowardice of the CFCC. And I'll repeat that. You had a bunch of cowards there that tucked tail and ran because they were scared to death of being confronted by the news media. And the news media got in their face and called them a racist. They were scared to death. And I'll double down on that. And the American Renaissance, too. What the hell have those two organizations done? And they do good, but how can they throw crap on somebody like the Oath Keepers, when they have never been up close and personal with the enemy in the streets. And I'm not
I think unfortunately, a lot of our conservative groups, leaders from our conservative groups, feel like if they put down some other conservative group, they're going to be accepted in the media. And that's never going to happen. You can slam Blood River Radio, American Renaissance. You can slam the political cesspool. You can slam, you know, any conservative group you want to, but you're never, ever going to be accepted in the media. They hate anybody that's white, Christian, conservative, Southern. And if you've got any one of those pieces of baggage in their eyes, it's not to us, that's the people I like to hang out with. But if you're carrying any of that baggage in the eyes of the lamestream media, then they're going to slam you no matter what you do. And it's so disgusting to see these so-called conservative Republican government officials, like our governor, Sissy Pants, in Tennessee, trash the Confederacy, Bedford Forrest, anything related to the Confederacy. And he, for some retarded reason, he thinks that the news media is going to like him, or the minorities, or I really don't know what his problem is. He ran as a conservative, and then it wasn't 6 weeks in office, he tucked tail and ran.
He was a coward. He certainly is. He's the one that the people need to be slamming and punching on. Gene, we're going to a quick break. I don't know if you can hear the music or not,
yes,
but thank God you're back with us. We'll be right back, Gene. People, we'll be right back with me and Gene, and we're going to finish out this hour. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, people, I dearly love that music. I feel like marching off and fixing my bayonet when I hear that. But we're right here. This is the second hour. You listen to Blood River Radio. It is our second anniversary show. It is October 3rd, year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2020. Yes, we did. We started this show 2 years ago. It'll be actually technically to be the 6th of November, which will be a Tuesday. But this is our second 2 years of Saturdays that we've been on the air. We've got people like Sam Bushman and his dear daughter Bethany have kept us on the air. Without you know what, there's I'll say this, Gene. You know, we had the feelers, an AM radio station put feelers out. They're putting up a FM station. They want us to come on their show, and they said all we had to do was toned down. And I said, well, brother, we ain't toning down nothing. Matter of fact, we might even take it up another notch. So it's either our way or the highway. And our way here at Blood River Radio, and nobody agrees with me more than Gene, and we tell the truth, no matter how bad it hurts. So when somebody tells me you got to tone it down, that means you got to quit telling the 100% of the truth. And then they'll say, you can say something in a different way. I say, no, I'm not going to say it in a different way. The only way I know how to do it is just talk plain old American Southern talk. And so they can either take us or leave us. But we're not backing down for nothing. If we can just get out to two people, you know, every Saturday, if while telling the 100% truth, we'd rather have 1 hour of radio for one time and one time only, just a one shot, a 1 hour, and tell the 100% unadulterated, pure 100-proof truth than to go 50 years and have watered down. Well, that I've just thought I'd throw that out there. And while we're kicking back people that gave us hell for having the Oathkeeper Zone, and matter of fact, not making too many excuses, but I told Ranger Doug, the Army Ranger, we didn't even need Stewart on because he was the guy we wanted, because we wanted him to talk about the militia groups he was forming up in North Carolina. But he did, so that's the way it was. But while we're at it, these guys from American, you know, they slam us because, you know, they're friendly with some of the blacks, and they had a black that's one of the head honchos up there somewhere. But all you people out there, some of you guys that are with American Renaissance that complained to us, let me say about your buddy Jared Taylor, since we're punching in the right. I'm going to read something that Jared Taylor wrote. He is the head honcho of American Renaissance. It says, American Renaissance has taken an implicit position on Jews by publishing Jewish authors and inviting Jewish speakers to American Renaissance conferences. It should be clear to anyone that Jews have, from the onset, been welcome and equal participants in our efforts. That was a quote of Jared Taylor in 2006. That's your beloved Jared Taylor from American Renaissance, people out there. And I'm not talking, I've met Jared Taylor. He's a nice guy. But you slam, you know, oh, well, you have some blacks in there. Well, I'm going to tell you what. The Jews have done us white Christian people a hell of a lot more damage than any black ever has. Blacks could have never integrated the South. They could have never caused the rapes and murders in the United States. Had it not been for the work of the Jews in disassembling, destroying the South during the Civil War, they're disarming. They've destroyed our core systems. They've made it everything we do as white people. They made it crimes. They put us in, you know, like a kid. I'm getting ready to go off this rant in a second. A kid put a noose around a statue of James Marathon at Ole Miss several years ago. He's serving, you know, God only knows how many years. In prison, you got these Jewish courts, these Jewish judges, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? I get American Renaissance. It's a good organization. But people don't come in here saying you're American Renaissance and slamming us because we had Oath Keepers on. When you got, you know what? The Oath Keepers do not fully associate. They don't go out and advertise, we like Jews, we want our organization. Anyway, if I'm punching to the right, so be it. But you know what? Somebody punches me, by God, I'm going to punch back. So you know what? Don't throw stones if you're in a glass house, people. And I'm going to shut up and get off of that, Gene. I don't want to make anybody mad that's our friends or anything, but you know what? There's a lot of damn hypocrisy out there, Gene.
Oh, it is everywhere. I just shake my head, even in the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Sometimes we spend more time fighting among ourselves than fighting our enemies, and I just shake my head and say, no wonder we lost the war. That's right. There's the story right there. We can't get all on the same page and say, okay, yeah, we have differences, and we don't agree 100% on this or 100% on that. But look at our enemies. You know, they stand together. When they attack Southern Christian white people and our history and our heritage, they may be in, you know, the gay and lesbian, LBGT, NC and St. L, LNN, whatever all of that stuff is, all of that, or the blacks, or the, you know, Green Party or whatever, they put aside their differences and they stand together to attack us and to have our Confederate monuments taken down or to have ballot boxes stuffed and rig elections and all the things they do. That's what's so frustrating. Our enemies stick together and we don't. And unfortunately, I think that's going to be the end of us and the end of this country because we won't stick together. But anyway, that's just my philosophy on that. So be that as it may, It's frustrating to see how we can be so petty at picking apart each other, and our enemies have no problem joining forces against us. It's like their hatred for us trumps everything else that they have differences, and they put aside those differences to go after us. So I think we need to take a page from their playbook and put aside our differences and stand united against the communist front or the liberal democratic front or the crazies that are out there. And boy, they have been crazy in the last 6 months and just ripping this country apart left and right.
You know, that is I'm glad you thought of that, Gene. Our enemies, the Luciferian, communists, Satanists, Zionists, as I sat here thinking, I can't think of a single instance of disagreement, a fight between two of those organizations, those Luciferian Satanist organizations. There was, if they do, they keep it in house. I've never seen an article in the paper or any other media outlet where they were in a fight. I don't know why in the hell our organizations can't do that. You know, me and James talked about this years ago. Our people in our group, in our, you know, and so call us alt-right, call us whatever. I like to consider ourselves a hard right. Well, I don't know why we always have to fight each other. But, you know, that's being said, Gene, I guess we'll let that old dog die. Go ahead and quit kicking that dog. But, getting over to Jewish people, I was looking about a week ago, Gene. I see where Jewish Israel, they've been shipping weapons to this country, Aberdeen, and this is a Muslim nation. Get this, Jewish Israel shipping weapons to this Aberdeen. It used to be an old Soviet Union satellite state.
Right.
And they're fighting another Soviet satellite state, Armenia. Now, it's my understanding, what I read, Gene, Armenia was the first nation in the world, maybe the only nation in the world right now, to declare themselves a Christian nation. Well, they are at war with this other nation, Aberdeen, and the Jews are supplying. It's the same old thing. They are using their proxy army, shipping weapons to them to fight Armenia, and yet we have a Christian nation, and we have people over there in the Middle East that are scratching their heads just like we are scratching our heads. Why would the Southern Baptists and these other I call them pseudo-Christians, you know, kind of like pseudo-intellectuals, dead poets. Why would these dead Christians, why do they always side with Israel, even against countries like Armenia? Why do they do that? Why do they side against Syria when Syria under, what's his name? I can't think of the guys right now who's head. He's the premier of Syria. It'll come to me in a minute. Assad, there you go. Yeah. You know, he has, of course, I'm sure you know, he has, and we talked about this on the show before, when the United States went in into Iraq and bombed the hell out of them, and they started making war on the Christians fled to all parts of the world, the ones that could leave, that were able to leave, and many of them went into Syria. And Assad, he gave them sanction. He protects them. He even has Christians in his government, offices. But yet America and even Trump, I don't get it. Trump is such an enigma to me sometimes. He does something great. Next week he does something I can't understand. But we're trying to make war with Syria. We're in there taking their oil. I don't get that, Gene. You know, what do you think about that, fellow?
Well, it's the whole thing. You referred to the Southern Baptists and a lot of these Christian organizations talked about the Judeo-Christian religion. That's an oxymoron. You can't be Jew and you can't be a Christian. It's either one or the other. And
I can't believe we got to go to another break already, Gene.
Okay.
Hold
we'll
on to your seat. We'll be right
break.
Back. We sure will. Be right back, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, said the president went through a very concerning period on Friday and that the next 48 hours will be critical in terms of his care. As far as how President Trump is being treated,
yesterday evening he received his first dose of IV remdesivir, and our plan is to continue a five-day treatment course for remdesivir. And the big plan for today, since he's in such great spirits and doing well, is to encourage him to eat, to drink, to stay hydrated, to be up out of bed.
White House physician Dr. Sean Conley. Several Black Lives Matter protesters have been arrested at a walk-away unsilent majority march in Washington, D.C., the BLM protesters clashing with conservatives on the Washington Mall, the NFL postponing the Kansas City Chiefs-New England Patriots game on Sunday due to positive COVID-19 tests. This is USA Radio News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 27 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The stunning news that President Trump has contracted COVID-19 has ignited a new urgency for Congress to come together on a massive coronavirus relief bill. Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi saying,
"We're hopeful that we can reach agreement because the needs of the American people are so great. But there has to be a recognition that it takes money to do that."
Pelosi and Mnuchin are expected to work through the weekend. The Senate Judiciary Committee will soon be ground zero when the confirmation hearings begin for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. But two Republican senators, Mike Lee of Utah and Tom Tillis of North Carolina, have tested positive for COVID-19. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer saying the physical absence of two members of the committee warrants delaying the hearings. But Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham said any senator who wants to participate virtually in the Supreme Court nomination hearings will be allowed to do so. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back. And once again, I'll give you that date once again. And the reason I'm doing it tonight is because this is our second anniversary. We've been on the air 2 years. Blood River Radio has been on the air 2 years. Very proud of that. I'm very proud of our staff. None better than Gene Andrews, who's with me tonight. And more correctly, I'm with Gene Andrews because he's the man. You know, Gene, I'm going to read something real quick to you. I tried to go too long. We got this Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. He's in the news again. And I'm reading this off what is the publication here? I don't see the publication, did have it. But anyway, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano said in the 2020 2020 presidential campaign, he said, "It presents America with a biblical challenge against the demonic forces of the deep state and against the New World Order." You know, he wrote a letter back in June directed to the president, and he was interviewed one day last week by an Italian media outfit. And I think this is what I'm reading now. I think this is came from that interview. It said the Catholic Church's former apostolic nuncio to the United States once warned voters that warring principalities unseen to the human eye will clash on Election Day. The Archbishop previously framed the battle, the political landscape, to a battle between the children of light and the children of darkness. That's back in June. That's that letter he wrote directly to the president. He says the presidential elections in November represent an epochal challenge, a biblical challenge, the outcome which will be decisive not only for the United States of America, but for the whole world. He wrote in that letter I was telling you about, to address to the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. He says, it is necessary that all of you Catholics of America are well aware of the role that Providence has designed to entrust your president, and that you are aware of the extraordinary battle that he is preparing to fight against, get this, the demonic forces of the deep state. He says the same thing we said on Blood River Radio. The deep state here in the United States, really worldwide, they're demon possessed. They're of Satan. They're children of the devil. He says he's fighting against the deep forces of the deep state and against the New World Order. And he also referred to the church as the deep church because they've been infiltrated, especially started with the Catholic Church. Now all these other churches, me and Gene just started through mentioning. They have become infiltrated, too, in my opinion. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But anyway, the Archbishop also asserted that Mr. Trump is the greatest defender of the supreme values of the Christian civilization of life, from conception to natural death of the natural family composed of one man, one woman, and children, and of the love for homeland, one nation under God. Anyway, he goes on and on and on. Babies, precious babies being born, our left-wing people wanting to kill them in the womb, and they'll argue whether it's a fetus or a human. I mean, I don't know what the hell, it's not surely not going to be a dog. I mean, anyway, to me, Gene, that's really stunning. This guy, Archbishop Carlo Vigano, he's not just an ordinary guy. I think I talked about this in the first hour. He was very high up in the city-state of the Vatican. We talked about in the first hour, in case people are just tuning in. The Vatican City is a sovereign nation in its own, as small as it is. And they have their own government, they have their own police force, they have everything. He was there, kind of like in the Vatican State Department, running the day to day businesses of the Vatican government. And he's come out, Gene, and he's used all these terms. He's used deep state, the deep media, the deep church. He names the Freemasons. He names the New World Order. He talks about Satanism and George Soros. He talked about later on, and he talked about the Clintons. And I can't think of this other guy. He condemned the sex abuse changes in contact tracing. It's tied to these so-called vaccine injections. Anyway, one thing, I'm going to run one more thing by Eugene, and then I'm going to go to you. He says that this coronavirus worldwide is pretty much the way they're responding to it is a hoax. He said that the entire worldwide lockdown, it's just so Dragonian. He said the purpose of that is to introduce these Dragonian measures that will never disappear. They're never going away. The deep state is never going to take. They're never going to take these measures away. In fact, he said they're even going to increase it, and it's to start training us with the people of the world pretty much like a little slaves and take the vaccine and shut the hell up. And he also said he named Black Lives Matter and Antifa particularly as being satanic organizations. He came out and said it. Not any of our politicians would even. None of our politicians have the guts, Gene, to come out and say that Black Lives Matter is a satanic organization and Antifa. How about that, Gene? What do you think about that? Guy's got guts, hasn't he?
There have been reports on where they're getting the Black Lives Matter, where they're getting their money from. And it's basically a communist front organization, a terrorist group. And they hide behind the black in Black Lives Matter, that you cannot criticize anybody that's in a black organization. That's taboo. That's stepping on the third rail. You just can't do that. And the same thing for criticizing some of these Jewish organizations like you're talking about, providing armament and fighting against Christians. But you can't criticize that because they'll squeal and holler and talk about, they're going to, if you criticize Israel and some of the things they've done, then you're out building gas chambers in your backyard, and we know what kind of person you are, and, you know, they bring the whole hoax up every time that they get criticized. So they know how to play the game with the media, and the media, since most of the NBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, all of these, the New York Times, Washington Post, all of these organizations are run by the Jews, and so they're the only ones that get their message out. And it's taboo to criticize any of them for what they've done. George Soros has supplied money to all of these left-wing, anti-American, communist front organizations. And his real name is Schwartz. He changed it to Soros so he could hide what he's doing and where the money's coming from. So he's funded the Antifas. He's funded the Black Lives Matter. He's funded a lot of these anarchist groups that are out there today ripping these cities to pieces. And he's put up the money for a lot of these mostly black female district attorneys that are saying they won't prosecute these rioters and these looters, that they bring them in, the police bring them in, they just turn around and let them go. They post no bail. They have no incentive to ever show up for a trial date. And so follow the money trail. Look at where the money's coming from. And that is part of what your new world order is. And that's why it's so scary to think about Biden being elected that has the support of all these terrorist groups and the radical left in the Democratic Party now. If he's elected, I mean, the riots that we saw this spring and into this summer are just going to be minor compared to what's going to happen once they have no control from the presidential office or anybody in Washington. The deep state will really expand itself and take over after that. It's like someone said in one of your advertisements for the Blood River Radio, Robert E. Lee said, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. And it will be tyrannical at home, even worse than it is now. And who knows what kind of foreign wars we're going to get involved in with Biden in the White House, or or they have him propped up in a corner and water him twice a day, whoever's running the country in his place while he's the proxy president. It's just, you know, lean him up again something over there so he can stand up. And then whoever's actually running the country, it'll be an absolute disaster after that.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to chip in our money and send them some coffins up there. But I think people like Biden and Pelosi, people like that, I think they must be vampires. They're so damn evil. They could go back to their coffins at night and sleep and, you know, get up on a full moon. I mean, you're talking about straight up pure evil. You know, it's what you mentioned, George Soros, the good bishop mentioned, Archbishop. He said that that he specifically named George Soros, just, and he backed up what you said, Gene. He said that George Soros has directly funded Black Lives Matter and Antifa. You and I could attest to that. And, you know, we keep going back to Charlottesville, but I'll just make a quick note about Charlottesville. If you look at Charlottesville, we the people of, golly, I can't believe we're going to another break already. Gene, we got to go to a quick break. I'm sure you hear the music. People, we got to go to a quick break. We'll come back with our final segment in just a few minutes. Hold on to your seats.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding in. Hey, before I go back to Gene, I'm just going to tell you about a little operation I did last week. As a matter of fact, I think it was yesterday. I was working with the little 21-year-old Ben Bushman. He's the son of Sam, the guy who syndicates our show. What a great young kid. He's 5 years, 4 or 5 years younger than my youngest grandchild. I wanted to reach through this microphone and hug that little kid. It's like 21 going on 8. When I'm talking to him, he's like talking to a grammar school kid. But God, was he smart. What we did, Gene, our computer just tore all the pieces, so it's junk now. So Sam and Ben, in just record time, they did what they could do. Computers, I didn't know this, but computers are getting kind of scarce now because of the so-called, like you saw, the corona beer virus. But they got laid hands on one, a great computer. I think it seems to me like it's better, works better, heavier, better built than the old one I had. But they got it to me in record time. But anyway, me and Ben, I say me and Ben, mostly 99% Ben, we put this together. But hey, I am going to take that credit for that 1%.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at me. I had to get my son to show me how to get my computer back online so I could print off a form on it. So I can operate the on-off switch, and that's about it when it gets to computers. That's it.
Well, I could probably do that. But Ben is all the way out in Utah, which is over 2,000 miles away, and he's telling me how to do this stuff. And he put all these, the young people call it apps. He put all these apps on this thing. That's how we're able to broadcast tonight. We can improve the sound a little bit, getting on our scatter box, I think Sam calls it. But right now we're going out loud and clear. I hear everything loud and clear. But I'd like to give a shout out to Ben and all the great kids. Little Bethany, I've already adopted Bethany, I told Sam. He's losing his kids one by one to Papa. Now I'm going to adopt Ben. I don't care if Ben is married. He's going to be adopted, and he's going to have to be good to Papa, man. But anyway, I love those kids. He did one heck of a job. And Sam really has trained those kids, raised them up right. They're all just such wonderful kids and all good citizens. I think Bethany is a senior in high school this year. But anyway, she's one of my special buddies. She's helping run. Matter of fact, she's running our show tonight. But anyway, a shout-out to Sam and his kids. But, we were talking about Archbishop Carlo Vigano. He also kind of coined these terms I haven't heard before. He introduced one term into the lexicon called pedo-Satanism. So we see this going back all the way back, Gene, to when we had Inspector Jim Rothstein on. He talked about the book he helped Senator John DeCamp write. We've interviewed John DeCamp before. They wrote a book called The Franklin Cover-Up. And they talked about all about the Satanist sacrifices, the Satan worship, human sacrifices they used all over the United States. It's thick, heavy in Washington, D.C. All that stuff is heavy. The Satanism, the pornography, but the human trafficking, that's been around forever. All of a sudden, it's popped out on the scene, you know, that we've learned about it with the, what was his name, the guy who was executed, who supposedly died in prison not long ago,
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. Well, you know,
supposedly hung himself. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, hung himself with some dental floss or some sewing thread.
Yeah.
But anyway, he talked about stuff like that. He coined the term pedo-Satanism because these Satanists that are superly heavy in our government. You know, talked about the Hillary Clinton and their spirit cooking, using children, and they take blood from children and all kinds of other crap I won't even mention on the radio, just disgusting stuff, and drink it. And they use these horrible rituals to, you know, worship their god, Satan. He also coined another term we'll talk about as soon as we can, called homo heresy. All these people we're talking about, it's heavy in the Democratic Party. They're trying to completely turn Christian society upside down, and now they're even succeeding a lot with the so-called, what used to be the Christian church. They're, at one time, when Gene and I were young, if you were homosexual, they stayed, what they used to call it, staying in the closet. And then later on, some guys would do what they call coming out of the closet. They would say, yeah, I've been a homosexual all my life. But then you would be castigated. It was like being a terrorist, a child rapist or something like that. But he said that this homo heresy, they're trying to completely turn our sexual morality upside down. The LGBT, all these people trying to turn them into something that's bad. They don't want us to just accept them. They want us to hold them up as like the norm, Gene. So did you think you would ever see a Catholic priest, an archbishop, second only to the Pope, would come out and say something like that?
Well, he's calling the shots as they are. I mean, everything has been turned upside down. And what you have to understand is that's the communist plot to destroy a country from within. The fifth columnists are tearing this country apart from the inside. I think we probably have enough normal people in the military to withstand a military attack against this country. I'm not too sure from what I've seen the last few years of what's happening to our military and how they've turned against the president, and they've turned against so much of the standards that were held up in the military before. So I'm not really sure that I'm not 100% sure they could withstand another conventional war. That's the term I was looking for, conventional war with the military we have now. But the communists figured out long ago that the best way to do that, to destroy this country, is take it down from the inside. The long march through the institutions is what they called it. And take over the entertainment industry, take over the news media, take over academia, and starting with the colleges and then working down to high school. And now some of the garbage they're even teaching in elementary school is absolutely ridiculous. And we haven't been able to stand up to it. We get criticized for being racist or homophobic or whatever, and we back off. We don't, even though we're not. When the left knows how to use those terms and throw it at people and scare them, and they run off and hide in the weeds because they don't want to be called some of these names. And for somebody like myself that played minor league football and amateur hockey, I've been called every name you can think of. Some nights we even had fans up in the stands tearing up the bleachers and throwing them down at our bench. So name calling is not that big a deal. So you just get over it. If you know you're right, why do you cower in front of the news media and the liberals when they call you names? But they know how to play this game, and they've threatened people. And to a certain extent, they're very successful at threatening people's political career or threatening their jobs. You don't want to stand up for our traditional values because they'll call you a name. And then these companies, these in the New World Order or whatever, they'll call you into their human resources department, and you have to go through sensitivity training or wind up getting fired or being suspended if you don't follow the liberal political agenda. And so they really know how to get in the driver's seat and control the media and control the discussion of whatever's going on, but by threats, either overt or covert threats against people to get them to comply with what they're doing. If not comply, at least remain silent and let it go on. Let them get away with what they're doing. And that's the really sad part of what's happening to this country right now.
You know, Gene, you said something that reminded me of a little article we did, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. I think the author was a guy named Roger Simon, who he's a kind of like a visiting contributor to the Epoch Times newspaper. I had a copy of that we talked about. And he had an article that said, Antifa is a natural product of our educational system.
Yep.
Going back, and you said something that kind of reminded me about that our education system. He said that going back decades ago, our education system was infiltrated by the communist.
Sure.
And you know, and I'm looking at a picture right now when it's his article he sent in. Just so happens, this picture he sent in says Antifa rioters wait outside Emancipation Park in Charlottesville, Virginia, August 12, 2017. You and I were there, brother. And it shows these crazies. This photograph's got these crazies with sticks and clubs. One guy looks like he's got some kind of a homemade gun. They're giving the communist salute. They got, you know, pictures of Mao on their shirt, wearing shirts with Mao Zedong on them. Well, he says that one of the reasons that the cities are so out of control in places like Charlottesville, Virginia, places like Gene and I have talked about, and other people in our circle said, anywhere you have a big college, that particular city is usually going to be just wacko, a Satanist, liberal, Luciferian. And he says that the governors and the mayor of these localities where the riots are taking place themselves were products of the same educational institutions. He says that he thinks that's probably when their reluctance, what comes of their reluctance to crack down on these rioters, because they're most of them, parts of them, are identifying with the rioters.
Yeah, they're part of it.
And he says in this article that it is, to my knowledge, I'm quoting him, he says, it's to my knowledge, it's unique in history that the public and private educational systems of a country so thoroughly and consistently criticize the country itself. So, Gene, you nailed it there.
And, well, it came from that Frankfurt School in Germany in the 1920s and 30s. And that was their whole objective, was to destroy Germany from within. And fortunately for the Germans at that time, they had a chancellor that wasn't going to put up with that. He saw exactly what was going on. And most of them were Jews, and Bolsheviks. He kicked them out of the country in the 1930s.
Yes.
And they wound up at Columbia University in New York and then had another branch split off and went out to University of California at Berkeley and started out there. But that's what their whole agenda was. And that's what they came up. They were the ones that coined the term "the long march through the institutions." They had tried various Bolshevik communist revolutions in Europe and had failed after World War One, and they couldn't get the workers to support them. So they said that an armed conflict wasn't going to work. So what they had to do was do covert operations, and just like we said, take over the news media, take over academia, take over the entertainment industry, take over the pornography industry for money, income. And that's what they've done. And it's been very successful. You got to give the enemy credit.
You surely do. Well, Gene, believe it or not, we've come to the end of this. Another great hour. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. Gene is as much Blood River as I am.
On your 2-year anniversary.
Well, on our 2-year anniversary, my right-hand man. Thank you. I'm your right-hand man. Thank you so much, Gene. Thank you both, Sam and Bethany. Thank you, Lee. And thank you, dear listeners. We'll see you same time, same place next week. That'll be October the 10th. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.